All righty, let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22, if you will. Genesis chapter 22, a familiar passage. Genesis chapter 22. We are working our way through the life of Abraham, and we talked about it. It says we're coming toward the end of this. We didn't put that back in the bulletin. Anybody need a worksheet, by the way? If you didn't get a worksheet, just slip your hand up. Hold them up there until they get to you. There's a couple down here, several down here. If you need a worksheet, a couple more down here. All righty. Abraham's legacy was that he believed God was counted to him for righteousness. And so we've been walking our way through the life of Abraham. And I've had several people tell me, they said, you know what, I didn't realize how many problems Abraham had. You know, we think about Abraham, you know, our father Abraham, Father Abraham. He was just help me out here. He was an ordinary man with ordinary faults, with ordinary fears, and so that he had ordinary failures. That's exactly right. He had his issues, but he had ordinary faith in extraordinary God. He had faith in the faithfulness of God. God's faithful. We're not always faithful, but God's faithful. In fact, the Bible says he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. Get back. I didn't pull up that verse, but in other words, that's who he is. He's faithful. Now, we go through some things in life, and the first time we hit some of these issues, it almost scares us. But God takes us through some things to strengthen us. And there's going to be some things we're going to have to face down the road that probably are greater than we can face right at the moment. And of course, every time we face something, it's beyond us. And it's true. God wants it to be beyond us. Why? Because he wants us to have faith in him. If we can handle it, we don't need him. So we haven't learned anything. You say, well, he won't give me anything that's more than I can handle. With him, it is going to be more than you can handle. See, there's a lot of people who say, well, okay, well, I'll just buckle down, I'll just handle it. That's not what he's trying to teach you. What he's saying is, you're going to give more of yourself to him. You're going to surrender more of yourself to him. You're going to put your faith more in him. You can handle it through him. I can do all things. See? They'll take that verse, well, you know, he won't give me more than I can handle, and we forget, I can do all things. Yes, through Christ who strengthens us. That's what he's trying to teach us. We're going to read 19 verses here. And you know this passage, and many of you know the story. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the story. Try to catch the story as we go by here. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things, all the things that Abraham's been through. In fact, what happened earlier in chapter 21? Isaac was finally born at 100 years, when Abraham's 100 years old. Came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Thine only Isaac, if you will. Thy only, by the way, what's Isaac's name mean? Laughter. He says, I want you to take the joy of your life. The one that came at a time you never thought was going to happen. The one that put laughter back into your home. I want you to take that which means the world to you, because literally through Isaac all things will come to pass, the promise. It says, I want you to take Isaac, your laughter, your joy, your hope of posterity, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. Next verse. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. That means he split some wood. That's what it really means. He split some wood to take along for the burnt offering. And rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham, they had traveled for 3 days here. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, the grammar says this, I and the lad will go yonder, and I and the lad will come back to you. That's what the grammar says. Now, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, or look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And that word there, provide, means to see to it. God's going to see to it. Well, what are we going to do? God will see to it. But I don't see an offering here. Something's kind of off here. God will see to it. And verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Notice there's no evidence of struggle. Abraham raised Isaac to believe in God. And when things look crazy, all he knows is that Daddy said, God will see to it. It's okay. God will see to it. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, this is what God said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Remember the covenant? They went through the pieces of flesh and so forth. God went through himself. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let's pray. And I didn't want to title this, but I feel like I want to do it so that down the road you know what the message was about. But I said, death, the ultimate step of faith. Now, you'll understand what I'm talking about here in a minute. Not just talking about a physical death, but death, the ultimate step of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Again, we thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, help me be a blessing to these folks. We've got a lot to cover here. May I do it quickly, but yet concisely and clearly. So we put it in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This passage is a very critical passage in the Old Testament, especially for its pictures of Jesus Christ. In here, you see all kinds of things that gives types and pictures of Christ to come. We see the willingness of the Father to give His only Son. God, the Father, gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Gave the joy of His heart and the hope of His legacy. We saw Him willingly give His Son. We saw the willingness of the Son to obey the Father. What did Jesus say? Not my will, but thine be done. We see the Son who left home, the home of the Father, with the purpose of dying. Jesus condescended and left the glory of heaven, the praise of the angels, to come to this earth to be crucified. We see the Son carrying the load of sin to the cross. He put the fire and the wood on His Son, and He carried it to His own execution, if you will. We see the mountain range they went to, Moriah. That's the same mountain range where Calvary is. Because that would be the same place where David would buy the land and put the temple. We see a Lamb of God is given. As strong as the ram was, it was still stuck in the thorns of the curse of this world. Just as Christ had the thorns put on His head, the Lamb was stuck in the thicket. We see the substitutionary death of the Savior. The ram is given in place of Isaac, in His stead. We see the constancy of the Father and the Son, both of them together in on this. The Father and Son both love us enough so much that they're willing to give the life of the Son for us. We see that the Son was slain by choice ahead of time. He said, this is what God said to do. And so they got up and they headed toward the mountain. And they knew what they were heading toward. You ever hear the song that Christ was, it talks about how Jesus was born in a manger in the shadow of the cross. He told His disciples, this is why I've come. Can you imagine the trek, those days passing by as Abraham and Isaac saw the mountain afar off? Can you imagine what happened in his heart? Well, he said, that's the place. It's going to be gone. But yet the Son was slain by choice ahead of time. In other words, it was already considered dead to the Father. I know where we're going. He's dead. This is what God has told me. This is what I have to do. He was already mourning in his heart. Can you imagine? But then the third day, the Son, life was spared. And life was given. Just like the picture of the third day. All the pictures and types of these great doctrines are clearly here. However, there are some other things I want us to see as we put this passage into the context of our study on a life of faith. Most of those pictures we saw probably, that we see down the road, hindsight, Abraham probably didn't see so much in his time. But we see it in hindsight. On the other hand, we do see an ordinary man with ordinary faults and ordinary fears, which bring on ordinary failures, who has faith in the faithfulness of God. And Abraham was surely taken to task in a time like this. What was his answer to Isaac? Lord will see to it. I don't know. The Lord's going to take care of it. Now, frankly, why are we fearful to place our faith in the Lord? I'll tell you why. We're afraid God's going to fail to be faithful. We're afraid He's going to drop the ball on us. Or we think we will fail. We think we will come into harm's way. We think we're going to lose instead of win, lose instead of gain, lose ground rather than make progress. We don't want to put our faith in God and wait for Him to do something because we think, well, that's not going to work. And the ultimate loss, listen to me, in the minds of many people is the loss of life itself. And I understand that. When we lose our life, we have lost everything this world has to offer. I'm no longer here. I'm separated from this world. So if I lose my life, I lose everything that I have in this world. We could say this, we lose our earthly future. We lose our family, if we will. We lose all the things we have accumulated. We lose all that this material world has. All our hopes and dreams become null and void when death comes. And thus many people feel that they are losing everything when we die. Now hang on. Christians really should not see it that way. We count all things of this world as lost if it keeps us from Christ. The things of this world only have intrinsic value as it can be used for eternal purposes. Now, some people even complain about God and accuse God if He dares to allow them to lose some of the things of this world, as if those things are the real value. Therefore, many people will not trust God if that trust means putting our earthly things of value on the line. Now, think about it. It's one thing to, I'm going to put this word in quotes. It's one thing to risk some material things on the promise of God, because though we do not want to lose ground, we will still be willing to risk something, knowing it will not be the end of the world if God's promise fails us. Now, that's really not faith, it's gambling. Some people will gamble on God. We're not here to gamble on God. Well, let me think. I don't think I can do anything, so we'll give this one to God. Hopefully He can do more with it than I can. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, if we lose our life, be honest with you, it is the end of the world for us. That is a big risk in the eyes of those gambling on God. Trusting God's word and promises is not a gamble. Our return on our risk may not be monetary or materialistic or even what we thought it should be, but God's promise is sure and the outcome is always good because God is always good. It may not be what we want. It may not be very comfortable. It may not be convenient. We may not like it. But it's good. Number one, let me give you a couple things here. Hang tight with me here this evening. Faith is a lifetime process. Faith is a lifetime process. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt." He tested. He proved. To show what He was made of. He tempted Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." He says, "It came to pass after these things." What a lifetime of living by faith, wandering around here and there, not really ever having the country, the city made by God, never really seeing all that. All that mess we've been talking about after these things. But watch. God did not ask this of Abraham earlier in his life, what, to offer his son. He didn't ask him that right away. Of course, he didn't have a son yet, but he didn't ask anything of that level. Watch, I don't think Abraham would have been ready for such a trying of his faith. If God had allowed Sarah to give birth in a reasonable stage of life and then asked Abraham to sacrifice him, it may have been actually more difficult to obey God than now. Why? Because the birth of Isaac was so miraculous that Abraham had seen God keep His promise when it was impossible to do so. He saw God do the impossible. And so the birth of Isaac was miraculous. And Abraham was willing to give God the benefit of the doubt. Listen, if he can do something now, Who knows what he can do? In fact, I gave it to you. 1 Corinthians 10 says this. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, let take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He says, I'm going to work you through this. There's a way out of this. Now, don't go looking for the way of escape. God will give you the way of escape. I'll tell you what Abraham did. He said, well, God's going to take care of it. God will see to it. What's he going to do? I don't know. Listen, how many times have you been in your life and something crazy is going on and everything's falling apart? You're thinking, I don't know what God's going to do. He's going to take care of it, but who knows what in the world's going to do? There's been a few times in my life where I hate to say it seems crazy, but I've actually been excited because it was totally out of my control, and I was kind of excited to see what God's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to have to do something. Why? Because he's already promised. Abraham knew the great nations, the promise, the posterity, what was going to come through Isaac. What's he going to do? I don't know. But God will see to it. Number two. Faith obeys no matter the risk. That's why it takes faith. Faith obeys no matter the risk. God's, it came to pass after these things that he said unto him, behold, you know, he said, Abraham, here I am. Look at verse 2. And he, God said, watch God's requirement of faith here. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He says, take thy son. You know the definition of the word son means to the builder of the family. In other words, this is the next stone in my legacy here. This is, when we were pregnant, well, I say we, Janet, was expecting Sterile. Everybody told us he's going to be a girl. Everybody says he's going to be a girl. And he said, well, you're carrying her so-and-so, so it's going to be a girl. And the doctor said, well, I think it's going to be this. And the nurses, and we got in there and said, we never predict, but to be honest with you, everything says this is going to be a girl. Had a strong heart rate and all this stuff, just like the girls do and all this stuff. He says, it's going to be a girl. It's going to be a girl. And we were in there for 12 hours, and it just wasn't going to happen. So we went into the C-section, and I can't usually do this, but I watched them do it. And they grabbed a hold of that poor kid's head and started pulling. I thought I could twist it off. I really did. And excuse me, but out he came, and Janice says, I said, because they had her numb, but that little thing, a little sheet of her face that she couldn't see, and she said, I said, it's a boy. I don't remember, but that's what she said. It's a boy. And he looks like he was going to play linebacker. He was one tough-looking kid. Everybody, he was only 8'8", but a pretty good-sized kid. I say, only, I wasn't giving birth to him. But he was only 8'8", but I've seen bigger kids. But you laid him in there in the nursery, and there was all these little cute little babies running up in there. Sterile. It's almost like, I can take them. I can take them all. Come on, let me take them all. I'm sorry, I love my daughters, but there's something about a son who carries the name. You know what I mean? He carries the bloodline and so forth. Think about this. For Abraham, this was it. You don't usually have kids at 100. He says, now I want you to take, watch, the builder of the family name, the posterity. I want you to take the future generations of Abraham. I want you to take all the successors that you were thinking about and dreaming of is going to happen. I want you to take the hope for the continuation of the bloodline. Sacrifice it. You say, well, Isaac's going to die. You know what else? Hope. was going to die in Abraham's heart. And he was going to have to do it. He says, thine only son. In other words, your sole hope. The only hope you have. Whom thou lovest. It's not only is it your hope, but you like the kid. He's a good kid. You have affection for him. Get thee to the land of Moriah, where God will see. That's what Moriah means. God will see. And offer him up. Lift him up. Do kind of a Lion King thing. But you're lifting him up, you're going to put him on the altar. Offer him up there for a burnt offering. That burnt offering really means let all your hopes, all your dreams, what looked like all the promises, and let them go up in smoke. Now there are times in our lives when we feel like everything that we thought God had promised. He says, he's going to let this all go up in smoke. What do you do? Well, that's what Isaac said. Dad, what are we going to do? God will see to it. But everything's done. God will see to it. Abraham was swift to obey. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And that, by the way, that means that when it says he rose up, that means to put one's shoulder to the burden. Went directly to the task. All right, what God said we're going to do is what we're going to do. So he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood, he split the wood, for the burnt offering. And rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. Can you imagine? He got up morning, next morning, he says, okay, well, I guess we got to get some wood. I got to get up here. All right. Can you imagine splitting the wood and knowing what that wood's going to be used for? Killing my own son. Kill my own dreams. God's ridiculous. You know what I'm thinking? God's crazy. Maybe I've just been hearing things. It's not God at all. Doesn't make sense. But there's right there stands proof that God keeps his promises. Isaac himself. Number 3. Abraham believed in life after death. Abraham believed in life after death. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham said they were going to go to the place of sacrifice together and they would return together. Isaac has to come back to life because God had said that the promise was to Isaac. And Isaac did not have any descendants yet. As impossible as it may seem, Isaac was going to either have to remain alive or live again. Now listen, God has not left us. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. And there's times when you feel like you're right in the middle of God's will. You've done exactly what he wants you to do, and everything is falling apart. You're killing me here, God. I have nothing. You want me to give everything up? I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man walking. God says, no, I'm life. I don't know how we're going to get out the other side. But we're going to get out on the other side, and God's going to see to it. One way or another. Number 4. Now this is hard. Faith is not hard when your hope is in the Lord. Faith is not hard when your hope is in the Lord. Now watch me. Let me read this to you. I didn't put that on there, but you can put it in the margin. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. A confident expectation. I don't know what God's going to do, but God will see to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Watch. The evidence of things not seen. I can't see what God's doing. I can't trace His hand. But I'm going to take the step. That's the evidence. The evidence that Abraham believed God was, he got up, he split the wood, and the boys went on the road and headed to Moriah. Faith was, he put him on the altar and tied him down. Faith was, he lifted up the knife. Faith. That's the evidence of his faith. Look what it says here, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father, and he said, Hear my son. And he said, Look, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide. God will see to it. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now notice, there's no sign of struggle on the behalf of either one of them. Now I know there had to have been a struggle going on in their hearts. I think Isaac believed Dad. I think he got up there. I said, All right, Dad. Whatever you think. Number 5. Ready for this? Faith places its valuables into the hand of God. Faith places that which is valuable in the hands of God. It's amazing what we're willing to risk on God, but a lot of times it's not something that, it's something we could do without if we had to. Because we don't want the death of that relationship, or the death, so to speak, of be separated from those things that we want. But what about those things that are valuable? Your children. Your future. Life. The things that are valuable, irreplaceable. Are you going to put those in God's hands? And just remember the promise that He'll see to it. But I can't see what He's doing. No, you see Him, and He'll see to it. Verse 10, And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now I wanted to say here, as a quote there, faith sacrifices for the sovereign. But a sacrifice for the sovereign really isn't a sacrifice. Because all we have is from God. It all belongs to God. We're not sacrificing our possessions, but God's possessions. He said again, we're not sacrificing our possessions. What we have was from Him. So what we're sacrificing is His possessions. See, we claim ownership on things, and we feel like if he takes that away, I think I just die. But they're his. This is the ultimate in exercising faith. Are you willing to believe God even if it costs you everything? Life itself. Abraham could see himself killing everything he had hoped for the last 25 years. And then have it all go up in smoke. It looks like God's trying to do some crazy things here. What in the world is he doing? Obey God. And God will see to it. Number 6, hang tight. God wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. Look at verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And we read a little passage, a few verses right before it there. It says, now I know that thou fearest God. In other words, I've got your heart. You see, if God has our heart, he doesn't need anything else. If God truly has our hearts, God already has everything else. See what I'm saying? What has your heart? What would you give away in order to keep God? Or what would you be willing to give God away to keep? Everything else we have, God gave to us in the first place. Does he have our heart? Letter C. God is not looking to take. God is looking to provide. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking to give, but he's looking for that relationship. He wants you to trust him. And Abraham, verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. In other words, Jehovah will see to it. It's the same basic word as when he said, the Lord will provide. It's part of the same basic word there. God will see to it. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And one of those days, hundreds of years later, Christ will be raised up on a cross. And God will give his only begotten Son within eyeshot, the same spot. God will provide. Letter D. God wants our hearts, but he may ask us to give up those things that have stolen our hearts. Well, that's dangerous. We got to be careful who has our hearts. What has our heart? It's not unusual for God to take it if that's what's between us and him. It's better to go ahead and give it. Well, he'll give it, he'll take it. As I said, I can't become a Christian. I'll end up being a missionary in Africa. Well, if you're supposed to be a missionary in Africa, that's a good thing. If you're not, you won't. We don't all go to Africa. You know what I mean? If I give myself to God, all my soul, what in the world is going to do? I'll tell you what, if you really truly give yourself to God, you'll be thrilled to be in the middle of his will. Now, the rest of us may be sorry to see you go. There may be, I understand those, but you're going to. But there's something about being in the middle of God's will. I've said this often. I was 30 years old before I left Carroll County to go to the seminary to become a pastor. And my problem was I didn't want to leave home. Now, I was married. I mean, my wife was going to go with me. My kids were going to go with me. But I liked Carroll County, Maryland. I just liked it. I was 18 years old. We drove all the way to California and back. And be honest, when I got done, as an 18-year-old, I said, I don't think anything's any better, any nicer, any prettier than Carroll County. I like living there. I like the people. I like the simple life. I just liked it. Mom and Dad were there and all the relatives were there. I liked it. I didn't want to leave any of that. But I had to come to the point that God's more important to me than all of that and all of them. Now, I'll tell you what happened. When I left, how we do things. We're young and we're stupid. And I stood there, I remember telling my mom and my dad, now, we're going to go to college here. I don't know where we're going to end up, so I probably won't be back. I'm just thinking about Hannah and Steve saying that to me right now, you know. Well, we probably won't be back. I said, I'll probably end up being a poor preacher. Won't have any money. Won't even have time, any money or time to come back to visit. Can you imagine saying that to your parents? But that's what God had done in my heart. I was willing to kill that if that was what was going to keep me from doing what God called me to do. Now, I shouldn't have said that to my parents that way. But I had sacrificed it. And you know what? Up until the very last minute, almost, there was no place to come back to, and I said, that's fine. And yet, at the very last minute, ta-da, nick of time, when all that relationship seemed dead, I get a phone call from Dr. Smith and say, hey, we got a place on our staff here. Can you come back and be our music director? Right back Carroll County where I started out from. Ended up selling the house that we were living because it was too far away from the church. Built a house. I remember we were heading to church one Sunday morning. I said, I want to buy a house someplace, but I want to close to the church, but I kind of want to be out in the country. But the church was right out, the church was on a road like Route 30, you know, and I didn't want to live out there. And I said, we looked around, I said, I'll tell you the truth, if I could build a house anywhere I wanted, it'd be right up here on Gorsage Road. I said, it's right up here in the woods. And when we drove by, I said, right there. I'd watched that wooded lot ever since I was a kid. That'd be a really neat place to build a house. And I pointed right there, and there was these little surveyor flags sitting in the bank, the edge of the woods. I said, look at that. They're getting ready to do something with that. And so I called my dad. We found out who owned it. And said, we're not going to list it. But it's for sale. But she had two lots, and she wanted to sell. And you wanted to sell both of them, this and that and the other thing. I was a young couple's pastor at that time. And I said, one day in my Sunday school class, I said, anybody looking for a nice wooded lot near the church, let me know, because I know where there is one. And after the class, this couple came up to me and said, we were looking for a wooded lot near the edge of the church, near church here. Where is it? So we went out and looked at it. He bought the back lot. I bought the front lot, took care of it, and I built a house right on the spot where I always thought it would be a neat place to build a house. God gave it all back. 9 years later, he says, time to go to Dover. And people said, oh, my soul, your house is still, you built that house. I started with a piece of paper and a pencil. I was my own general contractor, built the house exactly the way I wanted. And, of course, you know how it is. There's some things I'd change now if I were to do it again. But exactly what we wanted on the lot that I wanted. I said, oh, that beautiful house you have, you're going to have to leave it. I said, it's just a house. God's got something else down the road. He'll see to it. It's 2x4s and plastic siding. He'll see to it. Number 7. I do this with you. God will keep his word. Watch. But obedience brings even greater blessing. God keeps his word. But obedience brings even greater blessing. Look at verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, what the Lord said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. He says, now I gave you my word. I was going to take care of you, make you a great nation. But watch me. He says, because thou hast done this thing, for okay, by myself have I sworn, say the Lord. But watch. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now watch. God had already given his word to Abraham to make him a great nation and to bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him, right? That's been all, that was 25 years ago. But now the Lord is saying, I have blessings that are going to bless you. Then you know, I told you I'm going to bless you, but I tell you, those blessings are going to be a blessing. You know why? Because you haven't withheld your son. He says, you know why? I have your heart. I promise I'm going to bless you. And by the way, there's been times through Abraham's life he didn't always think do everything right, but God blessed him anyway. God blessed me. But he says, you know what this? In blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. You're going to be blessed and multiplied even more than I promised before. Why? Because now I'm blessing your faith. Let me give you a couple applications and we're all done. How could Abraham obey so quickly? Abraham knew God's promise. He obeyed knowing it would take a miracle to make it work. But he'd already seen the miracles. But why had he seen the miracles? Because he had trusted before. Second, Abraham had seen God's faithfulness. The son had come. The son of promise had come. Abraham did not know what God was going to do for sure. God had asked Abraham to do some crazy things before, though. I don't know what's going to happen, but God will see to it. That's something we probably all just put in our vocabulary. God will see to it. What are we going to do? I don't know. God's going to see to it. Letter C, Abraham, you don't have those. Abraham believed God. Here you do. Abraham believed God. Now listen to this. I'm going to read this passage. If you want to read it with me, Hebrews 11, and we'll be all done. Hebrews 11, look at this. Looking back. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance, the tangible thing of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is action based on a promise or a command of God. Faith is only faith if it actually makes you move. Otherwise, it's just a thought. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is all that he says that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What did Abraham say we need to do? We need to do what God told us to do, and God will see to it. Well, I tell you what, we can get a hold of that. Let's just do what God tells us to do. Well, this looks like I'm going in the wrong direction. Looks like I'm shooting myself in the foot. Do what God told us to do, and he'll see to it. Talk about being asked to do something that goes against what God... He said, I mean, this is the boy that all posterity is supposed to come from, and you're telling me I'm supposed to kill him. Stop it right there, dead. I don't know what's going to happen. But God will see to it. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead. Ha, ha, ha. See, Abraham died before. You're not getting any boys out of us, Sarah and me. There's no life in there anymore. My mom used to say, well, the factory has been shut down. There's no life there. Sprang even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And I like that. It talks about how Abraham saw the hill far off. That's the place where it's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but God's going to see to it. That's the place. I mean, it looks like we're all going to die here and everything will be done. But I can't be right because of the promise of God. God's promises says something different than what appears is going to happen. So right there, that place, the moment of truth, if you will, that place where it all comes to fruition, that's the place. And I don't know what's going to happen there, but God's going to see to it. Having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they thought about going back to Ur, they might have. But watch. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. I don't know what the place looks like. And I'm not sure what it's all going to be like when we get there. But God's going to see to it. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared them for a city. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Well, he didn't offer up. In his heart, he did. Isaac was already dead. When he started splitting wood, Isaac was already dead in his heart. Didn't know what was going to happen, how God was going to do it, but he already gave it to God. When they were taking a 3-day trip to that thing, Isaac was already dead. When Isaac said, "Where's the lamb?" Isaac was already dead. When he saw the hill, he says, "Isaac's already dead." By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I don't know, but God will see to it. Everything's falling apart. What are we going to do? God's going to see to it. My job is to obey him, even if it makes no sense at all. Even if it looks like I'm going the wrong direction. Even if it looks like I'm hurting my chances of having what God has promised. God says, "I promise," and then he says, "No, we're going to kill the promise." And he gives the promise right back. God's going to see to it. When you think that what God is asking you to do basically kills all hope, that really is the ultimate step of faith. But how can I kill all hope if I'm following what God wants me to do? It's tough. One of these days we may be faced with those things. And fact is, we are a little bit all along the way. Well, if I do that, then I won't probably get married to this kind of guy or get to this kind of girl. Or if I do this, then I won't be able to do this. And the death of all our hopes and our dreams. I had to allow all that to die. You know what he did? He turned around and gave it back to me. He did. And if he does it another way, you know what? You're going to feel more home in the middle of God's will than anybody anywhere else in the world anyway. God knows what you can handle. And then he handles it with you as you give it to him. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. There's two tough messages here this evening. And yet, Lord, these are things that really make a difference in a life if we will just trust you step by step. If we would just remember, God will see to it. God will see to it. God will see to it. It makes no sense, but God will see to it. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you some questions.